each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Hooray.
In the dog days of August.
Yeah.
How's it out there now?
Not much different than yesterday.
I woke up, but you don't want to hear about my my woes. Woe is me, oh, woe is me. Well, I'll tell you anyway, you know. So
tell us anyway.
I woke up at 3 o'clock, and it was like a fire hydrant, you know. I just just the sinuses. Wow, so all day. So I got a whole box of Kleenex
right
over here. So
to drain.
Oh, la vida, the life. Mm-hmm. So. How do we end the show yesterday?
I don't remember.
You're supposed to remember, you know.
Give us a hint.
Well, I don't know.
We ended with a blessing.
A blessing, right. Exactly.
That was a safe answer. So, anyway, I want to pick up perhaps where we left off, perhaps not. I don't remember exactly
how
we left off. But today's a feast of St. Lawrence. Who is, you recall, a couple of days ago we had the feast of St. Sixtus and his companions who were all martyred in the catacombs of, I believe it was St. Callistus. We ended with the words of Edith Stein. Thank you. Thanks, Nick. Yeah. Now, what were those words? That's the next question. What were the words? But anyway, right now it's not important. What's important is the words of St. Augustine in regards to St. Lawrence. So St. Lawrence was martyred under the persecution of Valerian, as was Sixtus and his companions. I've visited the catacombs, but I was reading the commentary by St. Augustine on the martyrdom of St. Lawrence, and this will kind of hopefully lead us into the whole topic of prayer, which is so crucial to who we are in relation to Christ and really in relation to one another. Because remember yesterday I think we were talking about why do we think about God? Eternity and meaning, the purpose of life and all that, okay? It's coming to you.
It's coming to
you. Okay.
It's amazing how just your words start bringing it back.
Yeah, right. So it's just that life is dynamic, so we're moving from one thing to the next, right? Mm-hmm. But St. Augustine, in writing about St. Lawrence, he says, the Roman Church commends to us today, this day, the anniversary of the triumph of St. Lawrence. For on this day he trod the furious pagan world underfoot and flung aside its allurements and so gained victory over Satan's attack on his faith. But then he goes on to speak about, as he's speaking about St. Lawrence, and he speaks of St. John the Apostle, who teaches us about the mystery of the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist, when he wrote, St. John wrote, just as Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren, for the brethren. And so St. Augustine says, my brethren, Lawrence understood this, and understanding, he acted on it just as he had partaken of a gift of self at the table of the Lord. So he prepared to offer such a gift in his life. He loved Christ. In his death, he followed in his footsteps. What struck me was, which is something I keep emphasizing at the Mass here, certainly, because we celebrate ad orientem, so we face the East, or I'm leading the people. Don't like to say my back is to the people, but rather that I'm leading the people in the offering. But our participation in the Holy Eucharist is the offering, not just offering Christ to the Father, but uniting our lives to the life of Christ. We offer, we entrust, we submit, we surrender, we consecrate, we give our lives. It's our mutual fiat, our yes, that here I am, I come to do your will, I give you freely in gratitude for the life you've given me, I give you my life, and I live to do the will of God. I wonder if that comes into our mind. Because I was speaking to somebody earlier in the week, and somebody who comes to Mass all the time here, and I mentioned that, and he said, oh, that's interesting, I've never thought of it that way. And yet I thought, but I speak about that all the time, yeah. You know? And I don't fault him, you know.
No.
For, but it's just, but I do think, you know, I tell you, you know, see, today I was thinking, we're up against, it seems like the forces are up against us, you know. And by the way, it's not just me, but I'm everywhere I turn, there's commentaries, there's reflections, there's articles about the time in which we live, and it's like there's this collective awakening to the changing landscape, or the winds have changed, right? The winds have changed. A changing landscape. The storm that's on the horizon is on us. And so it seems, it may seem, to those of us who have this sensitivity to Christ, to all things sacred, and therefore a sensitivity to sin, that we're losing the battle. And I guess it brings me back to yesterday, because we were talking about the people, generally speaking, do we think about things after, at the end of all things, you know, what, where are we going, what lies beyond the here and the now of life? Do we think about the meaning, the purpose of life? Do we bring God into our thoughts, into our heart, you know, that we've come from God, we go to God, and God we live? This is a time when there seems to be this, a kind of an arrogance, a boast of, a prideful boast that I'm not a believer, I don't believe in God, and that somehow puts me above you, right? Because that's kind of it seems to be, to me, it's like this mantra that is ever present in the society, especially among the young today, you know, that, and yesterday we were talking about St. Edith, or St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, Edith Stein, who came from a very devout Jewish family, and in her teenage years she was an avowed atheist, but then it was finding refuge, not that she sought refuge, well, she sought refuge in the church, in a Catholic church, on her way to school, on her way to the university, because she found it was a place of silence, and she could, and she was a woman who thought deeply about things, but was a vowed atheist. But it was in that church, as I mentioned yesterday, as she was able to find a space away from the noise of the world, and felt but didn't know what it was, this presence, something, someone. And then she had to meditate and contemplate, reflect on the Eucharist, and she did her dissertation on empathy. I think that's interesting. I'd love to, you know, read a little bit more about her. I wonder if anybody's ever put the two and two together, you know, because her discovery was certainly her conversion to the church, her a reawakening of belief in God. But who is this God now? But this God who is an empathetic, a compassionate God who condescended and lived and suffered among the people and didn't spare himself anything of what we suffer, but he didn't sin, but was made sin because he took sin to himself, and took it down into death, and rose in order to save us from our slavery to sin and death. So, but the question again is the humility it takes, I suppose, to persevere in the faith in a time like ours. But maybe on the other hand, because of the changing landscape, if anything, it brings me deeper to faith, because I see the futility of it all. It just seems so empty and so prideful. This arrogance, or kind of a posture of superiority, that people look down on those who believe and try to live sincerely that belief in God, or those who say they believe, but really they don't give God attention because they're caught up in the ways of the world and in the distractions of life. But anyway, it seems like, in some ways, as I was reflecting, and maybe I've said this many times before, but this will bring me to the question of prayer, is, we can talk about, or I would say in this radically secularized society, which again, I'm hearing people write about this changing landscape, this highly secularized society that has not only pushed God to the fringes, but, thrown him into his heaven beyond the beyond. We don't want to deal with God because we're going to do it our way. We've progressed, right? We're progressive.
Mm-hmm.
We've matured beyond that. We're adults. Adults who are very adolescent, because I think really what's happening in the society is a perpetuation of adolescent behavior, a kind of rebelliousness. I'm not going to serve anybody but myself, in many ways.
It sounds like somebody else we know.
Who's that?
Satan.
Well,
it's Satan.
He's the culprit, right?
Yes.
But anyway, this is the free reign of the flesh. And so we, I get disturbed by so many issues that are ever present today, and even wanting to know how do you respond in a way that people are going to hear and perhaps respond, or how do we convince people that our way, which is God's way, is the only way, really, to eternal life and to a deep interior peace and a deep interior joy, even as we suffer the things of this world. How do you bring people to live sacrificial love in this era, which is characterized by the free reign of the flesh? And all you have to do is turn on the television, the radio, we forget the radio, we're on the radio, but
right.
But you get the point. Internet, access to
yes.
so much.
Yeah.
But we're dealing in a time with a marital infidelity, the redefinition of marriage, the outright acceptance of all kinds of the misuse of sexuality, the sexual abuse of children, trafficking, all that. I've never, I don't recall that was never, and there's nothing new under the sun, but the extent to which you hear and you read about these things, yes, we talk about fake news, this, you got to be so careful, because if you say the wrong thing, you're just automatically how quick it is to use the word racism, or you're bigots, or you're hateful. The rise of socialism, communism in our own nation, the social media monopolies that seem to want to silence free speech, bipartisan politics, the divisions are just unbelievable. And the church is affected by that as well, because what's going on in the society is happening in the church. The idea that it seems like we don't want to speak so much about personal sin, but we're very quick to get on the bandwagon about social justice or injustice and all that, and not that that has to be dealt with, but at the expense of personal sin, which is really at the root of all that too, the whole controversy over climate change, you know, the abortion, the right to life, a woman's rights versus the right of a child, euthanasia, you know, which is now considered to be like a mercy killing. Then you get into the whole, you know, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism. Is it all relative? Are they all the same? You know, is one as good as the other? You know, these are just some of the things that we're, you know, just, you know, these are things you want to confront these issues. But then it seems like we're up against these forces, and as God has been relegated to the fringes or thrown into his heaven beyond the beyond, so too are his followers, those who are tried and tested followers of Christ. And so it brings me back to the Anawim, the small flock, chosen from among the people to make their way down the narrow path. All this is in keeping with the teachings of Jesus, that it is a narrow path, it's a difficult path, but we make that journey under the banner of the risen Christ, and we suffer the faith. We continue, and we must continue to. And I say, if we do this, you know, so that you can't argue, or you could, I suppose. But if we just speak about the call to chastity, that we're called to be a chaste, a pure people, to be humble, to be obedient, to embrace silence, so that we can hear God speak in the deep recesses of the soul. That from there comes that peace and that joy and the strength we have. That ours is a message of mercy. I was so inspired yesterday by the first reading at Mass from the book of Jeremiah, where through the prophet God says, "And I'm going to make a new covenant." This is after the people had, much like today, gone astray, turned their back on God, had no regard for the covenant. We're guilty of all kinds of idolatries, abominations in the temple, the desecration of the faith. And God purges and purifies and transforms, and he promises a new covenant where he himself will teach his people. And this is all in reference to the incarnation, when God would condescend and take on our flesh. We will be taught by God. And that he will forgive evil doing and remember sin no more. You know, that's unique to the church. That's not the society we live in, right? This message of mercy, which is what we want to carry into the world. And the gates of hell shall not prevail, as we heard in the gospel yesterday. So that's kind of my little setup, I think, for the whole question of prayer. And what is it about prayer? I'm going to ask you guys, I have a question. I wrote it here. What do you think of prayer?
I love it.
So, because the point is, you know, okay, why? And we'll find out when we come back. But but why is it so hard to come into this faith, which is really so natural to who we are, as created by God, for God? Destined for God, we come from God, we go to God, in God we live. And prayers are communion with God. But is it, well, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think about prayer? Mm-hmm. So we'll take a break, we'll come back, and you, can answer the question. All right? And if you get the wrong answer, I'll give you the right answer.
Okay.
Right. So don't go away, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change, and AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So the question, we're talking about the narrow path. You know, see, the thing, I'm more and more convinced that to be a Christian, and specifically to be a Catholic, is not easy. But Jesus said it wouldn't be easy, you know, and maybe that's part of what we have to reconcile ourselves with, the fact that he meant what he said. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow. And we're going to have to reconcile with the fact that, as he said, as the world hated me, the world is going to hate you, you know, because we talked about this the other day, but we've come away, you know, as I said, the landscape has changed. And as, quoting again, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Christendom is gone. Christianity is still here, but Christendom, you know, where Christianity has powerful influence over government, social policies, education, and all that, that we were considered a Judeo-Christian nation, the West was Judeo-Christian, that type of Christendom is gone. And so what was socially acceptable is now not so much, and it may be in some circles, it's just not accepted, right? To be Christian. But again, what kind of Christian are we talking about? What kind of a Catholic? Because there are many types of Catholics, many types of Christians. But if we're really, really going to be, you know, immerse ourselves in the full counsel of God, you know, that means not just pick and choose what's comfortable, what's soft. You know, we don't domesticate Jesus. I love to keep saying that. Jesus was not, he didn't tiptoe through the tulips. He
that always creeps
he
me
wasn't
out.
Tiny Tim.
You know, that whole tiny Tim always creeps me out.
Yeah, you remember that? Most people probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But the image of Jesus in the garden is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweats blood and where he utters his definitive fiat that he's come to do the will of the Father. And for love of the Father, he would do this, even though he's asking the Father, please let this pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done. And what is the will of the Father but that he lay down his life, that he atone for our sins, he redeem us, he save us. And he calls us down that same path, you know, to share in. It's always interesting when St. Paul says, we make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, the sufferings of Christ are sufficient, but we're part of the mystical body. He's the head, we're the body. And so the salvific grace of the Paschal mystery, his suffering, death, and resurrection, our liberation from sin and death, we're still sinners, we've yet to die, and so that font of divine mercy, that blood and water, which is bathing us and is forever flowing from his body, so to speak, as we make our way from here to there, you know, to the full realization of the kingdom of God, which comes at the end of time. So even maybe it was off the show, or no, you did say on the show, you mentioned the S word. Satan, you know, the enemy, but the you know, that he's been defeated, mortally wounded, but he still lives. You know, he's still, his death is not going to be fully realized until the end of time. So in the meantime, we're in this spiritual combat. So it brings me back now to the question, how do you think of prayer? Because what is it that's not bringing people onto this narrow path? Maybe because they want the wide road, but, you know. But what do you think of prayer? Or how would you convince, how would you describe prayer to somebody or convince somebody of the need to pray?
You know, I was thinking about that as you were speaking, but something just clicks in my mind right off the bat. I mean, I could tell you what prayer is. I could tell you what prayer means to me. I mean, the easiest way to say what prayer is for me is that relationship with God. I know there's somebody greater than me. Okay, that's easy to say, but is it hard? It's hard for people to believe. So it was interesting, all those things you were describing, you know, about what's going on in the world. I mean, what is, you know, how do you win this battle? How do you even survive this battle? We know the ending, yes. For those that believe, you know the ending. But I was thinking maybe prayer should be that first giving over to somebody, you know, giving over to God, just saying, Lord, whether I believe in you or not, I need help. I need to know, address these things, these questions in life. And the sad thing is, I think when people, it's easy to say when you've hit rock bottom, you have no other choice. You have to do something. But I want to believe that it doesn't have to get that way. I mean,
right.
Any day you decide, Lord, something is greater than me right now. And for me, that's how, outside of even being at Mass every Sunday, I used to hear you say this, you know, prayer and what it means. And to be honest, I've done everything the right way. You know, you say, but listen.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening.
But, you know, there's more to it than that. It's easy to say, you know, hey, recite these prayers or do this.
Right.
But I'm beginning to see that just being in his presence.
Right.
And that's my checklist, because I'm kind of going through that right now. I feel myself not being as close as I should. But again, for me, that's saying, okay, I need to recharge. I need to be with him. I need to check in, so to say. And then it's like, at that point, then you start researching the things. That's why it's the beautiful things you say, and you listen to the saints, the views and the writings of the saints. To me, that's that thirst to know what the answer is. And then it just happens. You just...
So a couple of things, if I can just respond, mm-hmm. and then maybe let let Christina say something if she wants. But the, you said a couple of things, and I want to react immediately. And I've said this before, I know, but when people hit rock bottom, right. See, and I think I mentioned this not too long ago, because I come to this, how many people hit rock bottom, and they come, and in a fit of desperation, you know, they're coming to God, and they promise me, you know, not that they have to promise me, but they're, you know, I'm the emissary of God. I'm the priest of the church. And so they're saying, you know, Father, I'm going to go to Mass on Sunday. In other words, it's kind of like Zacchaeus, the little man who, you know, although his conversion, we don't know if it was an enduring conversion, but he was an extortionist. He just did bad things to people. Right. Nobody liked him. He did all kinds of bad things. And when he comes into Jerusalem, when Jesus goes to Jericho, and everybody's gathering along the side of the road because they want to see Jesus, of course, the word is out, you know. And Zacchaeus is a little man, but nobody would let him in, you know, to see. It's like being at a parade, right? And so, because people wanted him out of the way. And he decided, you know, he was going to climb the sycamore tree, and he did. And when Jesus went by, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to be in your house today. And he got down quickly, and he said, Lord, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to, you know, sell everything. I'm going to give what I've taken from give. You know, and the point was that he expresses this sincere, genuine conversion. Did it Did he endure in that? I don't know. We don't know. But a lot. But I do know that so many people hit rock bottom, and they, I say in a fit of desperation, they come to God, that God can fix this, or I realize that I've been in a bad way and I need to be reconciled with God. The problem is, they promise all kinds of things, but then you know they don't want the discipline. Our faith is a discipline, and many people just don't want the discipline of the faith. And so once the crisis is over, or they somehow reconcile with the crisis, they get comfortable in the suffering, then God is again pushed out of the way. That was one thing that I want. But the other thing is, and you alluded to this fact as well, and it's like I don't tell people to just say prayers, right? It's got to be much deeper than that. But as I begin with St. Lawrence, and as I keep telling the people over and over in how many ways, when we go to Mass, we come in gratitude because we have been saved, and we come in gratitude for the gift of salvation that Jesus laid down his life, and we come to utter our fiat, our yes, the giving of ourselves, the offering, we lay ourselves on the altar, just as St. Augustine said of St. Lawrence, here I am, I give you my life, I surrender, I consecrate, I entrust, I give you my life. So that's we would say that's the highest act of prayer, because that's our altar call. The Baptists have this thing about the altar call, and they have no altar. That's always a funny thing. All due respect, because it's for them, it's just the Bible. But they have what they call the altar call, and I've seen it, I've experienced it, and Billy Graham was the great evangelist, and he used to have the altar call where the people were brought up at the end of his sermons, and they would give themselves over to Jesus. Well, we do that every time we go to Mass. That's the altar call, right? When we that's our fiat that we have to, because we are sinners, and we go. That's our again our yes. Here I am. I give myself to you that I be born again, so to speak. We do this all the time. Every time we go to Mass, we should be conscious of that. Some people do it every day. So, but that's the beginning, But then, as the Church says, from the Eucharist flows the grace to pray, the grace to serve, and all that. So I just wanted to mention that, because we still want to get back into the question of the prayer, because you did say something. When I come back, I just want to see if Christina has something to say. Very quick, so we'll take a break and we can come back. And do you want to say something?
Yes, if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
You can hear me? Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Prayer, to me, prayer is powerful. It's putting ourselves in God's presence, having that encounter with Christ. And like you said, it doesn't have to necessarily be the prayers. Like, you could, praying the rosary.
And we need to, but
yes.
That's almost secondary, isn't it, in a sense?
But even just being there in the presence of the Lord, that's prayer. It's just having that communication, that connection with our Lord. And we are connected with each other as well. Right. When we pray for each other, those are graces that come through the prayer for each other, to one another. And I've experienced it when I'm going through something and I ask people to pray, I can feel the prayers working.
All right.
Feel them.
So, Christina, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, and we're going to take a break, and then I want you to come back, both of yous, and answer this question. And those out there listening, think about this as well. I'm going to tell you the truth. Prayer is boring. Prayer is distracting. Prayer is drudgery. Mm-hmm. Prayer is not something I like to do. I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Sure.
Okay?
No, yeah.
So
I'm getting ready to leave.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. And
I've got all these
help me out
ideas.
That's
what people say. And it's hard. Prayer is not easy because we're distracted all the time.
All right.
I can't wait for the break.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and you help me out here.
Okay.
I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, or Windsor Change on AM 750 WNDZ. You ready?
cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th, at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm making a confession here.
Yes, Father.
My prayer, I'm bored with prayer. It's a drudgery, it's a distraction, and on and on and on. It's a very negative experience. I don't want to pray. There's nobody there when I pray anyway.
It's challenging because...
So, help me out. I'm a priest.
It's true, Father. And I hear this over and over from other people, and I go through it myself when you're tired, you're just aggravated with things, somebody upset you, and your mind is just running, it's racing, and just to put yourself, calm yourself and turn off all the distractions, that's very challenging.
So what do you do?
I just, I ask the Lord, give me the grace. Give me the grace to be able to pray. Because I do struggle with prayer. I understand. I don't pray as much as I should. And I admit it.
Okay.
And so it's...
Why don't you?
Because I'm distracted. I'm just saying there's so many distractions, especially with this technology. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard. And I don't know which saint it was. Was it Saint Thomas Aquinas? One of the saints said that God will raise up even greater saints in our time. Back then, not that life's never been easy, but today we have so much
distraction.
It's difficult.
It's hard.
It's very challenging.
Yeah.
But, you know, Christina, you said something when you were speaking, and it's something I learned. And because we're a family, that's another thing that, for me, prayer... It makes you not really, how do I say this? Because we're a family, we pray for each other.
Yeah.
And I think prayer, when it's done right, and I'm going to tell you, there's no right or wrong. That's why, you know, when you say something, I'm bored, this is boring, I have no time. Yes, that's probably all true. But I challenge everybody that does not understand the concept, doesn't just start with, there's somebody greater than me, okay? I think if people would do that, the thing that initially flows from that is what? What or who is greater than me?
Sure.
And then when you think about, even I've known about God all my life, but yeah, I got in the world, I had other ideas, I have other interests, I have no time, but there was something sparked in me that I had to seek out what God is for me. And that, when you think of prayer, that's prayer itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's, I love him, I know there's somebody greater than me, and what did he do for me? That's why the whole, you know, when you think of like his death and resurrection, I mean, that story in itself, just, I mean, if you would just think about or meditate on in silence or in front of the Blessed Sacrament, what he did for us. And for me, that's the thing that brings you in.
But one thing I do have to say, throughout the, and there's different types of prayers. There's prayer of thanksgiving,
right,
a prayer of different kinds. And I have to say, throughout the day when I'm working, I do, like when we talk, we're right here and we're talking to each other. That's what I do with the Lord. Throughout the whole day, I am in communication with him. Okay. I share with him my joys, my sorrows. As I'm working, I'm like, thank you for helping me with this, or wow, you. That is prayer too.
Thanksgiving.
Prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of...
So that brings me to the you know, because St. Paul says, you know, pray unceasingly without ceasing.
And I can't imagine
Jesus
what that's
said that
like.
As well, you do, because, but it's...
I do this every day.
We do it all, you know.
Right. All the time.
I guess this is the point I want to make. And I hope people understand. It's
sure.
Not when I say I'm bored. I'm actually playing the devil's advocate.
No, because that's what
but
people
it's all
say.
Part of, but that's part of the reality, because we're
sure.
in the exile.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
We don't
enjoy the beatific vision, and so we're in this quest for God, who has already found us,
mm-hmm.
and we have these. As I say this to people all the time, you know, we in the course of our life we have these epiphanies, we have these manifestations, you know, but there, and we fall, we in a time of desolation, or in the desert, or in the dark of night, we fall back on that, on those, we remember. And isn't that what the Eucharist is? It's a living memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just remembering what he did, but what he's doing, you know, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. But it goes back to what both of you said, you know, first and foremost, that yes, we acknowledge that there's somebody bigger than me, mm-hmm. greater than me, who created me, who is the son, who is the giver of my life, who sustains me, has redeemed me, and has destined me, you know, so that I am moving toward that beatific vision, you know, where there will be that eternal contemplation. But even that is hard to comprehend, because but the prayer is first to acknowledge mm-hmm. that in gratitude, and that's what we do when we go to Mass,
mm-hmm.
and then to be absolutely, totally real before God, to be always naked before
sure.
God, to live before God in honesty. In other words, if I'm bored, that's my prayer. If I'm distracted,
That's
part of the prayer. If I'm experiencing drudgery, that's part of the prayer. But here I am. You know, we're on that quest. And, you know, even if we're angry, you know, people have a difficulty with this, but I give you an example, and forgive me if I've said it before, but I remember as a young seminarian, it was the first year that I was in the seminary, and I mean, it was God in a very powerful way broke into my life and called me. You know, you said, Tony, that you knew about God,
mm-hmm.
but then you come to the knowledge of God. You know, it becomes
right.
more of a personal thing. I know God. I don't. It's just that was the gospel yesterday again.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took the disciples, the apostles, to Caesarea Philippi, before that rock of the God, and he says, "Who do people say that I am?"
Mm-hmm.
And people say, "Well, you know, he's." Jesus, he's maybe John the Baptist come back from the dead. He's one of the great prophets of Jeremiah. He's a great teacher, whatever. People, so this is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
about you, this is what they're saying about you, who they think you are. Mm-hmm. But he says, you've been with me now 3 years. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, but by the grace of the Father, said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, no mere flesh has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And yet Peter will later doubt and be confused, yeah, and deny, you know. So the point being that this honesty has to, we have to be honest. And I discovered this, and I'll just share this very quickly, and then we'll take a break. When I was a seminarian, the first year, I mean, I was, by the grace of God, I was always drawn to the chapel, to the church. I just always felt this need for God, to let God lead me, guide me, use me, help me to get over myself. And he hasn't done a very good job at that, you know, so because of my lack of cooperation. But it's the ongoing battle, ongoing struggle, my ego, my will versus the will of God. But there was one day, and I said, I am tired. I'm tired. First of all, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in the seminary. I don't know that I even like these people I'm with. I want to go home. I want to do my thing. I wanted to be a pilot before I felt the call to the priesthood. I don't want to be bound. You know, all this stuff, I'm mm-hmm. tired, because first of all, you seem to have, you withdraw your love from me. So it is, and later I only discover this is the part, the lament of Jeremiah. You duped me, mm-hmm. and I allowed myself to be duped. You know, cursed be the day of my conception. You should have aborted me. That's what he says, yes. You know, Jeremiah.
And he's being very sincere.
But this is absolutely. Yeah. And he says, "Here I am, sitting alone in the midst of merrymakers. You duped me." So anyway, the point being is, I went through. It was actually a few days. I just said, "I'm not going to pray anymore. I want nothing to do with God." I was sincerely, deeply, honestly saying this from deep within the suffering soul. I was a suffering soul because this is not where I want to be. I want to do something else. I'm tired of this. I did all the stuff I said. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to even try. I don't want, and I remember going into the chapel. Please understand when I say this, but see, God is God, and he knows, you know. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, when you go to your Father, he says, you don't have to say anything. He already knows. But I went to the chapel, and I went to the tabernacle, and because it was from the tabernacle that Jesus spoke to me and called me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I don't want any part of your church. I don't want any part of you. I don't want any part of the seminary. I don't want to be any part of these guys. I'm done. And I wash my hands. I shake the dust from you. Jesus says, shake the dust from your feet. So I shake the dust from my feet, and I move on. And I felt great. I felt great for about 3 days because I felt like I had taken control of my life. I was now in charge. I was now in control. And God was, I had shaken him from my life.
You're moving on. I'm moving on with life.
Moving on, even though I'm there, mm-hmm. because I'm there. And I did went through the motions. I went to Mass as I was supposed to and all that when we had the Mass. But I'm feeling great. I'm flying high because sure. I'm in charge. I'm in control of my life. I don't need God. I don't need prayer. I don't want it. None of that. So about 3 days later, I was at the Mass, and I always sat in the corner of the chapel and had my hands like this, you know.
Yeah. Folded in front of
you. A lot of guys do that.
You know, like I'm in control of my church. Here, and you know, yeah. And charge. Wouldn't you know it, in the midst of the Mass, I don't know if it was after communion, I don't remember what, but I was sitting there, like with my arms like that.
Right.
So I'm now a free man. I'm free of God. And I just was enveloped in the love mm-hmm. of Christ. just enveloped. It was so beautiful that I said, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me, because I, you know, it's irresistible. Don't do this to me. But he did. And that's what he does.
He does. Father, you know, it reminds me of the movie, The Miracles from Heaven.
Yeah. Christine, we got to take a break, and then we'll come back, and you can tell us about the miracle, okay? But, okay, everybody, don't go. We'll be right back. And Father Anthony, listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM
750.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you.
Floors as low. Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up. $3 cover for those 3 through 13. $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th, at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody, as we kind of wrap up. Christina, what were you going to say before the
break? Yeah. When you were talking about how your prayer was so sincere, where we have to just be our, God knows us more than, we can't fool him.
Can't fool him.
We can't fool him. He knows more better. So we should know better. So the movie, Miracle from Heaven, is a pastor, and his son was almost going to die. And I saw the interview, but in the movie, he goes into the chapel, and he literally yells at God, and he told him, don't you do this to me, don't you take him away from me, that's my son. And later he says, and God heard his prayer. And later he says, I can't believe he heard, but he's like, that was the most real and sincere prayer that I've ever said in my entire life. He said it just came from the depths of my soul. And when the child, when in the movie, and then it's based on a true story, the little boy, as he's under surgery, he goes up to heaven, and he said, I want to stay here. This is beautiful. And And Jesus told him, no, but your Father needs you down there. He's asking for you, and God is going to grant him his prayer. And but the thing about that, it, to be real,
it's
sincere with him.
And that's the point and of the show today, I think, is that, you know, it's first of all, our faith is a discipline, and it is a narrow path, and it is a difficult path, and we're not going to be accepted in the world, but our mission is to the world, right? Mm-hmm. To bring, because there's a because God does purge and transform and sanctify our lives, and he needs us to persevere. See, the key is always, you know, we got to persevere in humility and in surrender. And yet we have this is in no way to negate the formal prayers of the church, the rosary, and the Our Father Jesus gave us. Those are the seven petitions. We've talked about that often. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Holy Mass is our fiat. It's the entrustment, the offering of our lives in gratitude. But it's, you know, as St. Augustine said, that of prayer, he said it's this task of prayer is accomplished more through sighs than words, more through weeping than speech,
right?
Because this is the stuff of life.
Yes.
And so what we've got to learn is, as Saint Anselm says, and I'm really, these are some reflections I read this morning, so this is not just coming out of my head, but Saint Anselm said, he says, you insignificant man, escape from your everyday business for a short while. Hide for a moment from your restless thoughts. Mm-hmm. Break off from your cares and troubles and be less concerned about your tasks and labors. Make a little time for God and rest a while in him. Enter into your mind's inner chamber. Shut out everything but God, mm-hmm. and whatever helps you to seek him. And when you have shut the door, look for him. Speak to God. Mm-hmm. But our whole life, as I've said this many, many times, but our whole life is a quest. It's a search for the God who has found us, who created us. And yes, you know, I say, you know, we have these epiphanies. We have, every Mass is an epiphany. It's a manifestation. It's a miracle. But he comes under the hidden guise of bread and wine. And sometimes, you know, our senses speak to us clearly, deeply, loudly about this God who is with us. But more often than not, it's just the bread from heaven that sustains us, that we not collapse as we go on our way. It's not just bread, but it is Jesus feeding us with himself until, you know, it's a preparation for the heavenly banquet where at the supper of the Lamb, you know, Jesus is knocking on the door of the heart and he says, open the door, I want to come in and dine with you. And he wants to feed us with himself because he knows what we're made of and he knows what the life is like in this world. And he knows what the mission he's entrusted to us, and that it's not easy, and it wasn't meant to be, and he didn't hold anything back in telling us that. If we want a domesticated Christ, if we want a domesticated church, if we want an easy way, this is not the way. I'm sorry to say, it's not the way. But I tell you, it's an adventure. It's a holy adventure. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I'm saying that now. I may say something out an hour later, might, you know, lament.
Right.
But the Lord will, by his grace, he gives us that ability to persevere.
He always does.
He does. Everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. to say when right from wrong has become so obscure. It does not take that long. Can you see?